Today's message is titled, A Merry Home, you know. So I titled today's message, A Merry Home. And I did say that last year, you know, we talked a lot about... So last year, we did talk about Mother's Day, you know, and we read Proverbs. And we all agreed I'm hoping that we all agreed that last year, one of the things that we looked at is that, you know, when we looked at the book of Proverbs and we read all the long list, and we all agreed, isn't it, that it's a long list. It can be, for some people, it's so exciting, you know, when you look at the list, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm on top of it. And for some people, it's like, oh, no. And for some, you know, it's like, oh, I don't think I can cope with this. But we all concluded last year that we don't need to do this in our own natural strength. That whatever God asks us to do, or whatever advice he gives us the strength. And last year, we were able to conclude that God gives us fresh strength for each day. Hallelujah. And so from there, I just thought, let's continue. And let's continue looking at our homes, our lives, and everything. And then something just dropped in my spirit, and it had to do with a merry home. And one of the reasons why when I looked at a merry home that it really touched me is because, when you look at the book of Proverbs and you read all that and the long list, I looked at it and I was still searching. I said to myself, I need to search. There's nowhere in this place that it said the woman is happy or anything. Of course, we can summarize and, you know, that she was happy. But fortunately, towards the end, I got this place where she said she laughs at the future. And I thought, oh, yeah, that concludes, yes. So I'm on the right path. So a merry home. God wants a home to be merry. God wants a merry home. It's important. And even while you are doing the cooking and the cleaning and the washing and taking the children to school and bringing them back and putting them to bed and doing all those things, please don't forget that a merry home is more important than all those things. And God doesn't want us to use all that energy. And at the end of the day, we end up with a house that is full of shouting, screaming, and everything else. But let's look at scripture. So tell me, please, if you could, let's just look at Psalm 118:15 and let's look at what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for paying attention. God bless you. Psalm 115. Okay, she's there. Okay. 118. Okay. So it says here, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents and private dwellings. So when you look at there, just different versions that we have on the screen. But everything is talking about the home, what our home looks like. So you can all agree, if you look at this, that it's all talking about our home. But I brought up these different versions so that you could look at how the Bible puts it. So one of them says the voice of rejoicing and salvation. The other one talks about the sound of joyful singing and victory. The other one talks about shouts of joy, and the last one talks about songs. So whichever one, there is something going on in our homes. There is a voice, there is a shout, there is a song. And the question that I put to you this morning is, which one are they hearing in your home? Which one? Is it a shout of joy? Is it the voice of singing? Or is it the one of discord, arguments, shouting, screaming? I shared this with the people, the brethren, isn't it? The church members in the morning. Brethren is an old English. But I shared it in the morning, and I told them something about me. You know, so I'm not standing before you to say I'm perfect. I remember, I think it's 2000, we were in the other house, so I would just say it was before 2006. And I remember that every morning, you know, the children were young. I hadn't had Tunshe then. So it's a lot of shouting and screaming. And one morning, pastor came and said, you have to stop shouting and everything. And I just stood, I said, just stop it there. Stop it. I said, and believe me, I was convinced. I said, let me tell you, if you go around this whole neighborhood and this whole street and listen to every home that they have children, I guarantee you, you will hear screaming and shouting. I was wrong. And that's what happens with the word of God. You know, you can be so convinced in what you're doing that later, when you look at scripture, you'll be amazed how wrong you are. Now, did I have a reason to shout and scream? Maybe. Maybe the children were frustrating me. Maybe they were not doing. You know, it can be hard. You know, you tell the child once, twice. I don't know if everybody's in the same shoes as my shoes, but honestly speaking, I wish I could just talk once and everything is done. I wish I could wake up in the morning and if I say to you, don't put your shoes there, then please don't put it there. And if I put my things in this place, I wish you could just leave them there. I wish when you use the kitchen, you would learn to clean it up and leave it clean. I do. And I'm sure every woman here can agree and understand with what I'm saying. But you know one thing? We always forget one thing. What does it lead to? What does it lead to? The shouting. So the Bible says that the voice of singing, rejoicing, the shout. So what would they be hearing in your home then? At this point, they'll be hearing, yeah, like I can use my children. Toby, telling me, or whatever your children's name are. And then they will talk back. You know, as they grow older, they talk back. And that is the most annoying. I mean, just recently this week, I've learned to calm myself down. So I tell Tunshe, sit down. I want to talk to you. I honestly, hands up, that's what I do. Let me finish what I'm saying. Don't say anything. Hear me out, and then you can have your say. Halfway through, he has something to say. Halfway through, he has a reason. I say, that's the reason why you keep doing it. Because you're not. And then I'm thinking, no, Duni, you don't want to go there. And I try and I calm myself down. But you know, that's children for you. As they grow older, they have a voice. And thank God, that's the way God made it. There's nothing wrong. And so young people in the house, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a voice, but help us so that it's not a shouting match. Remember, God doesn't want the voice of shouting and everything. And it's to all of us, to the parents and to the children. But why am I saying it to mothers today? It's because we do a lot. We do so much. We want things to be done in a particular way. And it's so easy that it's us women that tend to, well, some people might not agree with me, but I will say it for myself, that tend to bust out the most. Maybe some of you are different from me. Thank God. Okay, I'll skip this one. So I just want to read something to you, what some famous people said about quotes. And so there's this first one. It says, the best way to turn a house into a home is to fill it with love and laughter. So you see, it's amazing that this person didn't say the best way to turn a house into a home is to make it clean, buy your furniture, hoover your house, wash your place. He said, no, fill it with love and laughter. And remember the scriptures we read earlier. And those scriptures were chosen for a reason. Because one of the things you see there is that I said, a wise woman, wisdom is better than this. Wisdom. So he's telling you that wisdom is better than anything. So whether you sit here and say to yourself, I know what I'm going to do when I get home today, I'm going to clean my kitchen. And at the end of the day, it ends in the shouting match. We are not applying wisdom. So you have to apply wisdom, even despite the fact that things need to be done in the home. So I'm not against a house that is in order. I'm not against a house that is clean. I'm not against things being done. But please, the sound from your home has to be the sound of rejoicing, agreement, pleasant, singing, whatever we can call it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So in the morning, too, I also shared with us. I said, look, there's no point of saying to you, okay, a merry home without also looking at scripture. What does the Bible say about our hearts? I believe that a merry home, a merry heart will produce a merry home. If your heart is merry, then your home will be merry. And I know some people say it doesn't follow, but I guarantee you that it does. There's no way you can be singing and, you know, and at the same time be angry. It's hard, isn't it? It's really, really hard. You have to stop your singing and go back to your anger. I remember when I had my young daughter telling me was young, and I remember, anyway, should I share? Yeah, I can share. And, you know, that was my past, okay? And so I dealt with her, and she was crying and crying. So I said to her, and then she kept on crying. And I said to her, what is going on? You know, she would stop and she would start and she would just go on. So I'm thinking, really? She said, I need to get to the end of my crying. I've never heard that before in my whole life. She was just about four. And she said something. She said, Toby gets to the end of his crying. Honestly, I've never heard that before in my whole life. So, you know, so it takes, you know, you have to be able to, you have to have stopped singing and rejoicing to go back to shouting and being angry. So that's why I shared that with you. So what does the Bible say about a merry heart? The Bible says a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So you can see what a merry heart does. There's something it produces. It's like medicine. And if I ask you, what does medicine do? I'm sure there are people who are scientists, who pharmacists, or people who work in that field that can easily tell me. Comfort soothes, eases our pain, heals our body. But so when you look at this, if a merry heart does good like medicine, translate it to a home. What does that mean? If a home is merry, what does that mean? There will be comfort, there will be joy, there will be ease no matter what happens outside. By the time we get back home, the pain is eased, the hurt, the anger, whatever it is that happens, that will be present in our home. So you can see how important it is that our heart is merry. Another translation talks about being cheerful. Cheerful, joyful, happy heart, whichever one. And in the morning, I did say this, and I will repeat it. You know, sometimes life deals us blows. And there are things that happen in our life that breaks our heart. And when your heart is broken, the Bible is making you know that it's very difficult for you to produce joy and the kind of products that God wants to see in your home. And so my word of advice to you today, if you've had a broken heart, let God heal you. I was telling them in the morning, I was sharing a testimony of somebody very close to me. And every year, you know, when it's Christmas time, he will say, I'm doing low-key, low-key. And when I say low-key, low-key is low-key. That is, when you go there to visit, there won't be drinks, there won't be anything. The atmosphere is so sad that, you know, after a while, it became difficult to take the children there. But as, you know, I know that the person went through a rough time. But as he was sharing, I then discovered that the reason is that during Christmas, something bad happened to him. That was, right now, it would be 55 years ago. And his heart was broken. And his heart has not healed. And every time he still talks about it, in his voice, you could see the heartbreak, then anger, and then everything all mixed together. I want to encourage you, church, don't let this be your portion. It could be a broken home. It could be a broken marriage. It could be disagreement with your child. I don't know what it is. It could be something that is so bad. And I tell you the truth, this particular person I'm talking about, he does have a reason for his heart to be broken. But when it doesn't heal, it affects everything. Everything about you. And so your heart can't be merry. The atmosphere around you is not pleasant. Please, this is not what God wants. God wants to heal the brokenhearted. And it is in the scripture. The Bible says, I will heal the brokenhearted. No matter what, whether it's a parent that walked out on you, I mean, I am an experience of that. My mom walked out on us. I was just barely, was I two? I'm not even sure. Six, okay. Yeah, I wasn't yet two when it happened. And so my life up and down and everything. But you know one thing? I choose not to be sad. It's a choice. You know what? I have other people ahead in front of me. I have my children. I have my whole life. So if I dwell in that, it's not going to help anybody. It's just that I'm going to keep reproducing that same pain. And then I'll make their lives sad. So God doesn't want you to be like that. God wants you to heal. And if you are struggling to be healed, you know, come to the ministers. Let them pray. Another thing that I say to people is that it's good to talk. Sometimes people don't like talking about issues, talk about them. I find for myself that talking helps me. I tell my husband now, because before when I'm talking, he goes, I say, no, I just want you to hear me. Don't say anything, just hear me. Once I've said it, it's gone. I'm not going to even act on it, but just hear me. And men, if you are here today, try and cultivate a habit of listening. It helps. You know, women, we are emotional beings. Sometimes the things we talk about might be petty or small, but just hear us out. And after that, just say, I understand. And then bless you. I'm not telling you to be deceptive, but I'm just saying, hear us out. So, what else? Yeah, so I'm just going to skip and go on to God's home. So in the morning too, I also shared something profound about God's home. And you know one thing, it's good that when we read this scripture and we look at what God says about our home, then we should look at what God's home is like. And everybody agrees that heaven is God's home, isn't it? Yes. It is God's home. And the Bible says, let your will be done on earth as it's what? As it is in heaven. So what is when God says, let your will, or when we pray, if actually it's us praying, isn't it? But Jesus said, pray like this. What is God saying? Part of it is that the same joy, happiness that's in heaven, let it be what? Done on earth. Done in your homes. Done in our lives. Let it be. So let's just look at some scriptures. And I'll start with Psalm 2. And it says, the heavens, in heaven, the Lord laughs. And he sits on the throne, making fun of the nation. So you see, God laughs. Oh, did I read? There's something that I skipped. I'm going to go back. Sorry. Okay. I didn't finish reading those famous quotes, did I? No. That's it, because you need to hear. It's nice to hear them. The next one says, better to have a messy home and happy children than a perfect yard and unhappy children. So think about it. You want your house to be perfect, everything, you're everywhere. But your children are not happy. What's that? The Bible says, well, this is not the Bible. Katharina said so. Yeah, Katharina. So, and another one says, where we love is home. Home that our feet may live, but not our hearts. And this is beautiful because most of us have children now. Some of us, our children have left home. But you know one thing, even when they leave home physically, their hearts are still with you. And that's what you want. And if you create a joyful, merry home, the children's hearts will always be drawn. You know, when it's Christmas, some people, they can't, in fact, their house, they don't have enough space for the children to come. And yet some people's like, when it's Christmas, the people say, I can't go. I don't want to go. I'm too busy and everything. Some people are so lonely at Christmas. And this is not to run down anything and to point a finger at anybody. But try. Just try to put a merry atmosphere. In fact, that's the only thing that attracts children and attracts people. A merry home where there's arguments and quarrels and everything. Honestly, it's a heaviness. It's a heaviness. I grew up with my uncle, and you all know, some of you know Pastor Soji. And one of the things about my uncle was that as much as I love him, and I do, I can say love. He's no longer alive, but I do love him, yeah. Anyway, but one of the things about him is that there was the very good side. And then there was the other downside. The good side is that my uncle was fun. He would play his music. He would play it loud. You know, he had a big house. He would go downstairs, try to clean the whole place. The music, everybody must hear the music. So when you are inside, you can't even hear yourselves. You know, he taught us a lot about lovely, lovely music. But when he's angry, then, and you know one thing, I used to be afraid, you understand, really, really afraid. Not that I fear him, but I feared his anger. And so don't have that. Don't have hot and cold in the same time. Don't blow hot and tomorrow you are cold. Don't be like that. If you're a pleasant person, continue. And if you're an unpleasant person, change your heart so that you are no longer unpleasant. And then the last one is, I think those three are enough. The power of finding beauty in the humblest things makes home happy and life lovely. And he says he is happiest, be the king or peasant, okay, who finds peace in his home. It is important that there is peace in our homes. It is very, very important. It's a litmus test, isn't it? In fact, I learned recently, and I've been a Christian for many years, and I'm telling you today as I stand before you, that every day, the way I reason changes. Because do you know one thing? It's so amazing that you could be doing something, and that was what gets me. That's what humbles me, is that I'm thinking this way. And I've been living my life. And then the word of God, I'm not talking pastor or anybody. I'm talking the scriptures are opened. And I just found out that I missed it. Oh, my God. How can you be doing something for 10, 20 years and you find out that you were wrong? That is a humbling experience for every one of us. And I'm sharing this with you so that we all, you know, try. Let's make the effort to get into the word of God. Let's do it. Remember last year I said, God gives us the strength to do it. So even when we are talking about our homes being merry, the Lord will give you the strength. You don't have to worry so much and say, oh, no. Relax. Take the word, agree with it, go home, ask God for help, and you will be amazed how he will help you. But I'll share some few scriptures with you how you can help. How God will help you. So have I read everything about God? No, I haven't finished. I need to finish that one too. So in heaven, I said the Lord laughs. Then the next one says, and that is Revelation 5. Again, I looked and I heard angels, thousands and millions of them. They stood around the throne, the four living creatures and the elders, and sang what? In a loud voice. Now this is heaven. Unlike us, a loud voice in our homes is, you didn't do this. I don't. Why did you do it? No. Look at them. They sang. The loud voice is the voice of singing. Interesting. That's what heaven looks like. And the last one says, and that's Zephaniah 3. The Lord your God is with you. He is a hero. Who saves you? He happily what? Rejoices over you. Renews you with his love. And celebrates over you with what? Shouts of joy. So these are the times you hear God shouting and screaming. It's shouts of joy, celebration. You know, it's beautiful. And that's what God wants to have in our homes. Just imagine that your neighbor is listening to you. And this used to get me a lot, even when we fall out. Honestly, one of the things that I dislike most is that how can I be a Christian? And when they hear the voice, the things, if they hear what they, you know, some of the things when you're upset, it gets to me. Because it's not just, we are not living for ourselves. Remember, we were told a life of purpose, a life of impact. How are we going to impact people? If when your neighbors come around, the people know, couples disagree. But in your disagreement, it should be so minimal that you quickly come back. And I keep saying it, if your house is filled with singing and rejoicing, your disagreements will be so, because you are singing. So how much time do you want to spend? You did this, you didn't do this, then you go on for hours. Honestly, if we fill our homes and our hearts with singing. So let's remember this as we carry on. And then lastly, I'll look at Colossians 3. And is this 16? Okay, 16. Don't mind. I'm not wearing my purpose. But it says here. And then it says here, Christ's message, and this is the Good News translation, in all its richness must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct one another with all wisdom. Remember, we talked wisdom in the morning. Sing what? Psalms, hymns, and sacred songs, sing to God with thanksgiving in your heart. Sing. The Bible says sing. Singing, you know, and I've been doing that with the children. And you know, it's amazing that I am really touched how little children really want to sing. And every time I think about this, it really gets to me. Because I know that there is power in singing. Remember Paul and Silas. The Bible says they were in chains. They didn't know what to do. Actually, they didn't know. I'm sure out of the helplessness of the situation, they began to sing. And as they sang, the Bible says the chains were broken. I'm not sure they thought the chains would be broken. I don't think they knew, but they sang. That's what they knew how to do. And it really touches me with the children. The teachers can bear me witness. I just go online, I get songs, different songs. You must sing. You must sing. I'm not saying you should jump up. I'm not saying you should sing loud, but you must open your mouth and sing, because there's something it does in your spirit. Many times we are struggling, we are fighting this situation, fighting that situation, but we are not singing. The power is from within. So sing, learn to sing, okay, church? And let me just read the Message Bible. Let the word of Christ, the Message, have what? The run of the house. Give plenty of room. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another. Using good, what? Common sense. Remember, again, we talked about common sense. So Bible says, use good common sense, okay? And sing your heart out to God. See, many times what God asks us to do is not major. In fact, I'll share with you, when I'm struggling with any situation, and you know sometimes when you're struggling with a situation, and I'm trying to think it out and pray it out and everything, I calm myself down and I say to myself, Duni, you know what? The solution is simple. You know why? Over the years, I've learned one thing. Every time God wants to solve a situation in my life, he always tells me to do simple things. He never tells me to do something that's beyond me. Never. Never. Sometimes it's so stupid as, sorry, not stupid, the word of God can never be stupid, but it's so simple as, let it go. I can just say, if God says, just let it go. Stop it. You know how hard it is for you, your flesh to let go, but with God, it's easy. God will just say, let it go. Or God will say, walk away. Or forget about it. Simple things God tells us to do. And likewise in this, we want to fill our homes with Mary and our homes become a merry home. That God says, sing. But in case you that is not, is a bit of a struggle, put some music on. Play some good music. Put it on. I guarantee you, after 5 or 6 minutes, you'll start singing. In fact, in my house, and I'm going to come out, I'll share with you, I like to play music. Well, I won't say I love to play, but sometimes I come across some albums and I really, really love them. And no apologies, Christian albums. And so I love them and I want to play them. And my church and my children, okay, my children come saying, oh, you're playing it too loud. Use an, is it an ear? I say to them, but that's not what I want. I want it to fill the whole house. I don't want it to be for me and just me. Oh, Mom, and then I go, Toka will come, reduce it, and Toby will come, this, even the dad will come, shut the door. And then, come on, people. I said I will report them. Don't worry, I told them. I said I was going to report them. I told them in the morning. And then I thought, I can't report them to church, so I will report them to my dad. And then they said, yes, after you report us, your dad will say, what do you want me to do? So, you know, but we do have fun, you know. But that's it. But play your music. Please don't disturb the neighborhood. But, you know, it's fun. And I really enjoy. Honestly, I don't enjoy putting it in my, you know, I don't want that. So I've decided from now on, that's how I'm going to do it. And in love, they have to bear with me. So I shall play my music. I will play it quietly, but I have to. But please play your music. Fill your house with merriment. Fill it with joy. Fill it with a cheerful atmosphere. And remember, this is how God wants us to live. The Bible says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have a merry heart and a merry home. Let us just pray. May 1 minute prayer and ask God for your help. And if you're a young person here, and it looks like we are talking to the adults, we are also talking to you children. Maybe all you have right now is your bedroom. What is the state of your room? That room that your mom or dad gave you. Is it full of joy? Is it clean? Is it a pleasant atmosphere? Or is it chaotic? You know, you share a room with your sister, but you spend all the time fighting and arguing and, you know, what is it? It applies to every one of us. And if your heart has been broken, my prayer is this morning, Father, Lord, you heal the brokenhearted. Heal our hearts, O Lord. Those deep things that we can't even share with anyone, where we hurt the most, that brings out anger, anxiety, worry, and all manner of emotions that are contrary to Mary, being Mary, I ask, Lord, that you heal us. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will help us to do your word, that our homes become pleasant homes, homes full of joy, cheerful homes, homes full of your beauty, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for enabling us to do this, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, Zama and Julia, bless you.